Please take or something. There's a plate there. Here's a nice bit of leather. It's out of the.
Away from the hawk.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what Rebbe said. I don't have the poster. So you have the CJF poster.
Right, around 20 years. Been there around 20 years. I'm a Kalap one. 20 years ago, he started this with Shir.
Who got the Diet Coke?
His name is Lou. Daniel Lou.
How are you?
I hope that you were new to come. Yeah. Okay, because
Rabotai,
we're gonna eat now. Then we'll sing one or two more zemer. Then I'm gonna speak, and then I'm gonna introduce our guest Rav Glasser. He's gonna speak, and we'll have a little singing. We'll have a record. And I always say the Hanukkah Chagiga is the quality time. You know, it's 1 hour, but it's quality.
One hour is like eight.
You're a Sparty, you know Yiddish.
Do you want
applesauce? No, I don't know. The
Spanish.
Mexico City and Panama. The llama. But you know who was most excited about this?
Who?
Productions. Productions has been promoting our stuff for years and years. They don't understand a word they're looking at. And when they saw that we were doing this, they were like...
Is there someone there that...
Yeah. He's really funny. Where there's somebody there. Why is recruiting in these places now?
His pays are longer than yours, so
that's what I'm
saying. Yeah, I'm saying his pays are a little bit longer. You have to catch up. Yeah, but he's not stretching his out, though.
My father-in-law is, he's a social worker. My father-in-law is an amazing
career.
He did change careers. My father-in-law was a professor of Jewish history for years and years. He's a PhD from Penn. He's published many, many books on Jewish history. Stephen Levinstein. And then after my mother passed away, he decided that he wanted to leave academia. He went to UCLA social work school. He became a social worker, and he couldn't get a job because he was 68. So he's very good languages. He learned fluent Spanish, took the test to become a Spanish social worker. He was hired by the city of Los Angeles, and he now works at Skid Row, helping homeless people get government funding.
Wow.
This is what he does. He's a super genius.
Yeah.
And he just made a decision. This is what he does.
Pass it around.
Yes. They're a Dropbox. Scan.
Everything is scanned. Right.
system.
Exactly.
Okay, Rabotai, let's begin. First, I'd like to welcome everybody to our annual Hanukkah Mesiba. Special welcome to my wife, who always makes sure to come. And today happens to be her birthday, and also my birthday. Meaning, I was born on the second day of Hanukkah, and she was born on December 4th. So, it happens to be both. I'm going to say some Divrei Torah now, then I'm going to introduce our special guest of speaker. Every year I make sure to get someone who I feel is very important for you to hear from. And so Rabbi Glasser, Baruch Hashem, agreed to come today. So we're very happy for that. And we'll introduce him after my Divrei Torah. And then we'll sing a little bit, have a niggun, and we'll finish eating, we'll clean up, and Baruch Hashem. Okay. Parshas Mahaloscha, as we know, is something that is very related to Hanukkah, the menorah, etc. And we're gonna end Hanukkah on, you know, getting into Parshas Mahaloscha. You know, there's a word from Rav Shmuel Birnbaum. He says, why is the eighth day of Hanukkah called Zois Hanukkah? He says, because Hanukkah is supposed to be for, you know, about learning, Torah Shabbat Peh. But for some reason, a lot of people, they're not learning because they have to light early, and we got to go here and there. So every day of Hanukkah, you know, the learning is sort of cut short. But the last day of Hanukkah is no one to light anymore. So everyone can stay for the whole Seder. So that's what Shmuel Berman says. That's why Zois Hanukkah, because this is what Hanukkah is really about. It's not about all the parties and about the, but still, it's good to get together a little bit, to have some different chizuk, etc. So I'd like to share with you a beautiful Or Chaim HaKadosh and some other things, and tie it into our lives as well. So we know the famous Rashi, that Lama Nismacha Parshas Menorah LaParshas Nesiim, because Aaron saw when the Nesiim were bringing all the Karbanos for Hanukkah Mizbeach, and he wasn't part of that, Chol Shadaito. So he was upset. So Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chayecha Sholcha Gdolo Bishalahem, that yours is going to be bigger than theirs, because you're going to be Madlik Metiv as Haneros. You're going to take care of the Neros. You know, the famous Ramban that says that Neros Hanukkah is Lolom Voed, so that's going to be even something greater. But the Or Chaim HaKadosh has a fascinating piece here, not usually often quoted, and I think it's a very important piece. The Or Chaim HaKadosh speaks about the two opinions in the Gemara, the second line here, left side, Daf Peches. are the two opinions in the Gemara whether what was the menorah like, meaning the menorah was the menorah, and then the neiros ha-menorah. You know, in modern Hebrew, ner is a candle. But if you learn Shas, ner is not a candle. Ner is a receptacle for oil. That's what a ner is. It's the receptacle, it's the cup. That's what the ner is. So the two opinions of the Gemara were the neros part of the menorah, means they were attached to the seven branches of the menorah. They had the cups, or no? They were a separate thing that every day you would put the cup, you would take it out, you would clean it, and put it back in. Like we have our, you know, Hanukkah, you know, our glass the cups, etc. So it was two opinions in the Gemara, Menachas da Peches, Ketzad Osim Salkan Manichon, etc. Usfaras Acholek, Usfaras Sovet Kvi, that they were really part, they were attached. So those are the two opinions. So he makes an interesting comment. He says, Vani Omer, second arrow, Vani Omer, Ilu Hayisi Sham. He says, if I was be at the time in the Gemara, when they were arguing about this thing, were the cups attached to the menorah, or were they a separate thing? I would have favored, in other words, I would have chimed in to the conversation, and I would have shown, you know, the Tanoim and Amoraim, you know, what I thought, that it was really separate. It was really separate. In other words, every day they would take the cup out, they would clean it, and put it back in. From different psukim in Tanakh, the lokvi neiros. And then he goes and shows you different psukim in Divrei here, next page, Divrei Yom and Beis, because it says, as habenoros, the neirosayim, which she thinks the Pashup Shah means the menorah was one thing, and the Neiros HaMenorah was a separate thing, and they were detachable. And he says, so that's, and he has all the proofs what he likes. So therefore, he says that every day they put the cup into the menorah, so every day was like an hischatshus of the menorah. You see, the mizbeach, you made a new mizbeach, you makriv the carbon tomid. And now you inaugurated the Mizbeach. But by the menorah, he says, every day when they put the cup in, it's like a hischatshus for the menorah. And therefore, that's why, he says, and that's Pshat and Chazal, based on his take that it was a separate thing, and every day there was the cups were put in again, that there was a Chanukas HaMenorah, like Kviyochol, every single day in the Mikdash. And that's why it was a greater thing than the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is a one-time thing, and the menorah is ki'ilu, there's a hischatshus ha-menorah every day. And that's the first yisod. The first yisod, Rabosai, is in your younger years in yeshiva, you have to be a kli kibul. In other words, you have to be a kli kibul. You have to, you learn by rebbein, and you're makabel. You're makabel. You know, and that's your receptacle. You're receptacle. I remember when I was an MTA in 11th grade. I was in Rabbi David Willig's shir. He only taught an MTA for 1 year, and I was in the shir that one year. So he said once in the Haftorah Parshas Vayera, you know, by the Isha Shunamis, he said, you know, are there kalim in the bais? And they said, yeah, they bring the kalim. So the Gemara says, as long as they were kalim, then they had the nace that the shemen keep coming. Once they were no longer kalim, then there's no longer shemen. And the word that he said over was that, you know, in other words, as long as there's a kli kibul, there's a shomea, then the shefa, you know, continues to come. And so that's every day you come to yeshiva, you're a kli kibul, and you're mekabel, and baruch Hashem, you're mekabel, and then, you know, you'll have a lot to grow from. But you're a mekabel. These are the years you're mekabel. You should also be a person who knows how to think and try to understand what you're being makabel. But you have to first be makabel. If you're not makabel, then there's nothing to talk about. And that's the hischatshus every day. So that's that was the first nekuda. And that's one idea. Now, then, I remember one year, Parsha Zohar in Yeshiva. So Parsha Zohar in Yeshiva, Dr. Lamb always used to come for Parsha Zohar. And everyone was speaking, giving Divrei Torah and Parsha Zohar about Amalek and, you know. So Dr. Lamb, I think it was at Goldberg's house then, he said, I want to say a Dvar Torah in the Parsha. Parsha Tetzaveh. It's not a leap year, Parsha Tetzaveh is going to be. So he said over the following. He said over the Medrash Tanchum on page 9, where he says, Abraham Chanidis Gan HaKohanim, Ani Yisi Beveis HaMikdosh, Umatasi Menorah Deleika Yosef, Mimai Shoshu Deleika Kol Yimos HaShana. Rei Baisa Nisim. L'kach Nemar Chassis L'mor V'lo L'mnochas. He says, El Kach Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Pamachas V'shana Yu Madlikim Es HaMenorah. He says, the menorah, he would light it once in the year, and it would last the whole year. A miracle. Nefiha yu madligim shemen zayin zach kosis. Av umnoch shem mekrim chol yom lo. Lekach nemer shemen zayin zach kosis. It was kosis once a year, etc. So that's the Medrash Tanchum. So there is a maisa shahai, it's quoted in Likutei Yehuda. On page 11, he says like this: Isav Medrash, Amar Rab Chaninim Skana Kohanim Masen Nisim Haya Bemenorah Shu Madlikim Osam Mirosh Hashana Lo Haysam Miskabeh Ad Shana Acheres. So I'm going Rab Chaim Soloveitchik. That's Rab Chaim, Rab Soloveitchik's father, grandfather rather. Ab Bezdin Brisk Haya Beir Varsha. He was in Warsaw. So he met with the Imre Emes, the Ger Rebbe. Shaolo Hagon Rab Chaim. Allah had locus of menorah heis a mitzvah essay. L'hadlik b'chol yom. It's a mitzvah essay to light the menorah every day. So if the Medrash Tanchum is saying that they lit it once and it lasted the whole year, eich bitlu kol hashana mitzvah essay. That was the kasha that Reb Chaim asked the Ger Rebbe. So what did the Ger Rebbe respond? Because there is a Gemara in Beitza, Tosefta, Shemosu B'Shabbos, say you have a cup of oil, right? And it's full with oil, but you add one tipa. So then, even though it's lit, but you're adding a tipa, that's Chayav Mishum Mavir, and you take one away, Yichav Mechabe, even though it's still lighting, you know, there's a lot of lumdus, a lot of Torah, in Halacha, why that is, but that's the Halacha. You add one tipa, then you're being mavir, and you take away one tipa, you're being mechabeh. So that's memela, that's what they did. In other words, it was lit every day, but they mekayim the mitzvah through adding one tipa of oil every day.
This was in the Mishkan or in the
Mikdash? This is in the Mikdash. So Yochel Hosif Tipa Achashem So what Dr. Lamb said was, and that's the same thing with learning. Is every day you have to be mosif a little bit. You know my shita, those that learn in my shir will know that my shita is that less is more and more is less. That every day you have to learn something and understand it, and then I'm not going to throw at you 50 pieces of information, then you're not going to understand anything. We're going to have that one tipa, and like today we learned the Tshuvas Chasam Sofer and the Milchas Koyin. We have one or two tipas, we focus on that. And then tomorrow we'll add in another tipa. And then, like the Gemara says in Bava Basra, kol pruto pruto ochel el chosh ben godol. If you have a pushka, every day you put in a coin, and in the end you'll see there'll be a lot. And that's the second. So the first Yisro, we said, the idea of the neiros. It's a separate unit, the neiros, of the kli kibul. And that's what we have to be. But sometimes you think you're a kli kibul, people want to, you know, inundate themselves with, and they think, oh, they're going to get 1,000 pieces of knowledge today, and I'm going to know so much. No, if you're going to do 1,000 pieces of knowledge today, you're not going to know too much. If you know one or two people things today, one tipa today, and one tipa tomorrow, and you focus, by the end of the year, you'll see how much you'll get. And that's the second nekuda that I wanted to point out. And the third nekuda is the following. You know, there's a whole discussion about how were they able to use, the Reb Chaim talks about it, Neis Chanukah, Shemen of Neis, it's not Shemen Zayis, and how that worked.
and there's a taz about it that it had to be yesh miyesh, it couldn't be yesh miyayin. And the Kli Chemda on page 14 says, he also quotes from the Ger Rebbe, the B'nais Chanukah Korcha Hayarak Bracha V'lo Nes. It's not really a Nes, it's a Bracha, meaning you had to have something there, and the Bracha is that it should expand. But something that's, you know, people like miracles, Nisim, so that's not really what it was. It was you had to have, that's why, you know, the question of what was the Nes the first day. So that means that the Taz explains that there was something there. There was something left over. And then it expanded. Afilu hodover muat, nosin bracha laharbos hama'at. But it has to start with a bracha. So the point is, I always like to say over the Netziv on page 15. And the Netziv says like this. What's the source for Birkas HaTorah? Ki Shem Hashem Ekro HaVugodo LaLokeinu. Right? That's the source. Every morning we have Birkas HaTorah. So the Netziv asks the Kasha. He says, I don't understand. Birkas HaTorah. Now, the Netziv is in Vayelach. So if you're looking for it in Hazina, where the Pasuk is, you won't find it. So keep in mind it's in Vayelach. In Vatak Yisroel Lachem. So he says like this. He says, where should that Pasuk have been written for Birkas HaTorah? Probably Yisroel, when they got the Torah. You got to make a Birkas HaTorah. You're making the Pasuk in Hazinu. Hazinu is at the end. You're first making a Birkas HaTorah at the end. So he says like this. The Yisod is like this. That Moshe Rabbeinu, the Zohar says, Shechina medaberes mitoch grono. But Moshe Rabbeinu got that madrega, that when he spoke, it wasn't him speaking, it was Ribon Shalom speaking. It was Nes. It was a Derech Nes. Shechina, every time he, at the end, he didn't have that anymore. Before he died, it was a regular did. Kisvu lachem, and then you read it from the Torah. It wasn't Shechina medaberes merach. So there wasn't Derech Nes anymore. Ad kol, after the second arrow, hayaba ofen shechina medaberes mitoch grono. He says, you don't make a bracha on what? On a nace. Meaning, if the Torah is coming as a nace, it's not your amelus, it's not your rigor, it's not your, then there's no bracha on that. That's why they say from Rav Gusman, they ask Rav Gusman, should you stand up for a pregnant lady, because kol haTorah kula, it's kol inside. So maybe you have to, so he says, no, but that Torah is derech nes. It's not there. It's not with any amelus. And the Torah we stand up for is the Torah of amelus. And that's the idea, Rabos. You have to be a kli kibul, and you have to focus ma'at ma'at, one tipa every day. But then it has to be your amelus. And if you're amelus, you see, in this day and age, everyone wants quick fix. Like Rav Chaim Zimmerman would say, press a button, they want quick fix. But really, to grow in learning, you have to. It's a process. You have to think, and you have a chavrusa, and you ask, and back and forth, and there's a process. It's not just, oh, just I'm going to press the button and get it online and whatever. You gotta work on, and that's the only Torah that you make a bracha on. The things that come derech nes is there berkas haTorah. That's the bracha. The bracha is when something is. The yesh meyesh, there's something there, and you're working on it. You became a kli kibul, and you're working on it. And this is the third idea. And you can look inside that I wanted to expand on, that these ideas of being a mekabel, and not to make sure not too much every day. I mean, you can learn a lot every day, but focus. Don't try to run. Don't think you're going to... That's what the... You know, in 1991, Rav Avadi Yosef was here for a week. He was here for a week. He was here other times also. He always used to like to say, we're saying halal these days. He always used to al derech hadrush, ani amarti b'chobzi kol ha'odam kozev. That if you're going to learn quickly b'chobzi chipozim, then you're not going to understand it right. Kol ha'odam kozev. That it's going to be kozev sheker, not true. You would think he's the one who wrote all the svarim. You would think he's the one that's going to tell you to learn a million truvas a day. No. Especially Chuvas Chasam Sofer, he writes. That you got to learn slowly. Chuvas Chasam Sofer. He has, I can show you the Sefer Rabbeinu. He says, Chuvas Chasam Sofer, you have to learn very slowly. And that's the Yisod of becoming, of growing and learning of the menorah, etc. So these are some ideas. These are ideas that we speak about every day. But I figure we fit them into Chanukah and to concretize it, to have this, these ideas. Okay, I'm not really the speaker here. I'm just the introducer. So right. So Baruch Hashem, we have a big schus today, as Rabbi Glasser now has been in the yeshiva now for how long?
4 years.
4 years. Time flies. Four years. He's been in the yeshiva, and I think he's a tremendous role model for us. Being a person who's a rav, but you know the best thing about him is that he's 100% normal. He's a normal person. You know, some people, I'll tell you a word. I once heard this from it's from the Vision of the Rebbe. He says, "L'hagid shvacho shel Aaron shaloshina." So what does that mean? By the menorah, shaloshina. What, Aaron's going to be shana? So he says, no. Some people, they have a lot of kavana, but they do things very awkwardly. Like he gives a mashal. The guy's lighting the menorah, and he's shuckling 1,000 miles an hour, and all the oil is spilling all over the place. But he has, but Aaron HaKohen, he had greater kavana, but he looked like everyone else. Lo shina. There's no difference. The other guy, he also has kavana, but he looks like weird. You know? And that, I think, is a tremendous thing to be a rav, to be a talmid chacham, to be a, and also to be normal. That I think, is a very big, big yisod. So, and a pleasant person to be with. So, without any further ado, we are very lucky to invite here Rabbi Glasser to share with us some Divrei Torah, Divrei Chesed.
Thank you, Rabbi Simon. First of all, to be from Pesach can be introduced as normal is a tremendous accomplishment. I think much more than anything else I've been able to. First of all, it's a tremendous kavod to be here together with all of you, your Hanukkah Masiva, to be in the presence of Rabbi Simon and his Revitzin. Rabbi Simon is one of our many Rosh Yeshiva, but he is also very singular and very unique among the Torah giants of our yeshiva, both for his absolute and unconditional dedication to his Talmidim, not only the ones in the shir, but the ones beyond the shir, and then the ones who are never in the shir, but want his Piskei Halach. When he said to me, so you'll come to speak at the Masiba, if you need to reach me, let me give you my cell phone number. I said, I have your cell phone number. Every pulpit rabbi in America who's ever had an English has a cell phone number. My cell phone number is the Rishus HaRabim. It's online in 100 places. It's not even like a question. So it's a cover for me, and I want to build off of one of the points that Rav Simon made, because I think it's very profound and very important for all of us. I happen to enjoy Hanukkah tremendously. It's one of my favorite chagim. You know, I don't know if any of you have had the opportunity to be in Eretz Yisrael, like right around Hanukkah time. In Eretz Yisrael, in America, Hanukkah gets focus, but the anticipatory energy of Hanukkah is not the same as it is in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, you walk the streets, and you know you could have a coronary just by looking at what's out in terms of donuts and all these different things. And so a couple of years ago, I was in Israel to speak at Yeshivas for YU, and I was walking down the street in Mea Shearim. Familiar with Mea Shearim? So I was walking down the street looking for somebody to burn garbage with. And as we're making our way down the street, so there are stores that are selling things for Hanukkah. So one of the stores has this giant box full of toys that you could buy. Now, when you leave your family for a week to go work for YU in Israel, one of the things you do, if you've been to a good chassan class, is you buy gifts to bring back to make up for the fact that you haven't been there. Most of these gifts are bought at the airport, which usually goes well, except this past year, we took my whole family to Eretz Yisrael, and when we were in Ben-Gurion Airport waiting to leave, the kids walked into the gift shop and they're like, "We have all this stuff, you know." And my wife's like looking in the jewelry shop. She's like, "I have every single one of these things." So anyway, but I was walking down. I figured, you know, maybe I'll have a chance to buy something sooner. And I pass by this store in Mea Shearim, and I look inside the basket, and there is a porcelain Santa Claus. So I pick it up and I walk up to this Hasidic guy and I say to him, you know, in my 12 years of Yeshiva High School Hebrew and my 2 years of Yeshiva University Hebrew, I said to him, Mazel.
So he says to me, it's a true story, he says to me, Ze Chanukah Rav. So I said to him, Ze lo Chanukah Rav, Ze Saint Nicholas, who nichnas labayi derech hachimni. So he says to me, oh, come on, Eliyahu, the Pesach. I said, yeah, you got it. You know? Chag is one of those chagim where the cultures just collide and everybody is in a certain zone. And it happens to be, I worked for many years in outreach, it happens to be that every demographic survey ever done of the Jewish people reveals that the most observed Jewish ritual is not the Seder, it is not Yom Kippur, it is actually the lighting of Hanukkah candles. The lighting of Hanukkah candles is ubiquitous throughout Jewish life, and it's something that has within it some sort of magic that resonates with the deepest recesses of the Jewish soul. And there's something about this Chag that penetrates beyond just the rituals themselves. It grabs you in a way that really transforms your identity and makes you feel like a holy Jew. So I want to share with you an insight related to something that Rabbi Simon shared. And it has to do with the convergence of Chanukah and the Parshios within which we find ourselves right now at this very moment. So the Parshios that we find ourselves within are the tumultuous experiences of Yosef and his brothers. Yosef's finding himself, we last left off, Yosef finds himself in the depths of the prisons of Mitzrayim. His ultimate redemption from that prison, his ascension throughout the world of Egyptian aristocracy, ultimately positioning him to save the family of Yaakov Avinu, which ultimately leads to the Jewish people finding their way to Mitzrayim, which is, of course, the foundational catalyst to the redemption of Am Yisrael, making our way to Kabbalah Satorah and Eretz Yisrael, and the portal to the rest of Jewish history. These parshios begin, already this past week, with a very despondent Yaakov Avinu. He almost sounds like Aaron HaKohen in the Rashi that Rabbi Simon read a few moments ago. Bikesh Yaakov Leshev B'Shalva, right? The Yaakov Avinu just wanted to sit and he wanted to have quiet. Yaakov Avinu wanted to enjoy the serenity of a calmer life and be able to just raise his family, raise his Shvatim, instill within them the values and ideals of Avram and Yitzchak, and build the future of the Jewish people. Bikesh Yaakov Leshev B'Shalva. And all of us pursue a life where we can live with a sense of calm. It's part of why we are so attracted to certain dimensions of technology that can provide for us certain things in life that can happen easier without effort. Bikesh Yaakov Leshev B'Shalva. Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to Yaakov Avinu and Chafetz Halev Rogzo Shel Yosef. What happens? The entire experience of Yosef unfolds. His children try to sell one of his other children. Right in the whole, we know the whole story as it unfolds. Says Rashi, Tzadikim mevakshim leshev b'shalva. Tzadikim, they want to sit and they want to have a life of calm because they want to be able to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'dayen mashim etukun lahem la'olam abalash mevakshim leshev b'shalva be'olam hazen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response is basically a very eloquent way of saying, you will rest when you're dead. Right? You will, Olam Haba is where you will get your calm, serene life experience. In Olam Hazeh, this is a life where we face challenge. This is a life that we want to be meaningful and purposeful, but this is a life where we confront challenges that face us. And the question is, where does this request of Yaakov Avinu even come from? Yaakov Avinu, after he had faced Laban, he had faced the Sarosh Shel Esav, faced Esav himself, so many years of great challenge. Where does this request even come from? So I want to share with you an interpretation of the Gemara in Shabbos that we're all, of course, focused on. The interpretation of the Maharal, and a little bit to build upon the insights of this Maharal. We're all familiar that the Gemara tells us there are three levels to the observance of the mitzvah of Chanukah. Neri Shubeso, fundamentally one candle per home. Ner l'chol echad v'echad, right? If you want to be a mahadrin, right? You're on the El Al flight and you want to eat it that comes with eight layers of plastic that you need like real knives to penetrate, which for some reason they give out on the plane, right? So there you are, Mahadrin, okay? And Mahadrin mina Mahadrin. You want mamish like the Mashkiach's beard hair in the food itself. You mamish like holding by Mahadrin mina Mahadrin. And so that, of course, we know is a machlokas tana. And the machlokas is between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Do we paskin polches v'holeich or mosif v'holeich? We have lived our entire lives with the halachic psak of mosif v'holeich. So to us, the notion that someone would light the menorah in a descending order seems to be completely counterintuitive. We know the Chanukah is, you start from 1 to 8. But the truth is that the Shita of Beis Shammai is much more parallel to the way that we embrace Chagim in general in the context of Jewish life. When Pesach begins, what do? We sit down at the Seder and we do everything on the first night. The whole thing. We light all 8. Matzah, Maror, Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, everything. What happens after that first night or the first 2 nights in Chutz La'aretz? So then, okay, there's a Vilna Gaon. The bottom line is that basically the mitzvah is to just go to Great Adventure. And if you're in a hotel, play Jeopardy in a tea room and stay out of trouble. That's basically the mitzvah Pesach. Once you get past the first night, there's nothing really to do. Sukkos as well, we know. The first night of Sukkos, that's when we have the proactive Chiyuv Achila. We have to eat maybe even a kibetza, certainly a kazayis. There might not even be a tour of mitzvayer. We have to engage the mitzvah proactively. What happens after that first night? You want to eat? You got to eat in a sukkah. You want to eat shahakal? You don't have to eat in a sukkah. Shavuos night, the first night comes, what do? We learn all night. Then what do you have? 7 days of tashlumin, right? It's like literally getting up at 10 o'clock in the morning for the next, right? Most of the chagim that we celebrate, we prepare en kedusha b'li achana, and then we embrace the chag in all its glory. There's so much momentum that leads up to Chanukah, right? We go to the store, we buy all the Chanukah menorah. You know, we used to. Rabbi Simon is revealing his generation, right? The notion that we actually prepare a wick, right? We are done with that, right? Now, it started with, we break off a wick, but then everyone needed tetanus shots, you know, after Chanukah. So now you basically just look at the wick. And it, it's a gel. I don't even know what is. It's like a nuclear concoction of, I don't even know what that is. Not Shemen Zayis. It's like whatever they're putting in there. There's emulsifying. You know, it looks like the milk used to look in Israel. You know, like, whatever it is. But that's Hanukkah. You prepare. You got there the first night. Everybody's so excited. You're going to say Shechiyanu v'kiyumanu v'kiyanu l'zman hazeh. You have this beautiful, gorgeous new menorah. And what do? You light this one tiny, little, loser light. It's nothing. Imagine you walk up to the menorah and you get the whole thing. And then by the time we're at the end of Chanukah, when we're literally like, it's mamish, like the whole thing's over, we don't want to look at another donut, and latkes are like, we're done, and we're like, mamish, like, totally at the end, we even had to go to the Wayu Chanukah, I mean, we're like, totally, all the mesibas, and all the dancing, and all the singing, and all the Alanisim, and since there are no other songs, Alanisim again, and again, and again, and again, and even the children's song creativity, the little dreidel out of clay, just, you know, over and over and over. And then what happens? You get to the very last night and you're like done with this thing. So Pesach, you're done. You make Havdalah, you have a beer. Sukkot, you're done. You go into your house and you take a good shluff outside the sukkah. Shavuos, you're done and you're unconscious, right? Chanukah, you hit the end and that's when the whole thing is there. All 8 nights. It doesn't make any sense. Beis Shammai makes a lot of sense. Start with all 8 and then as the chagim go, like all the other chagim, you'll descend. It'll erode. So that's the opinion of Beis Shammai. And the Maharal explains that Beis Shammai believed that the way to approach Chanukah is to begin with the strongest foundation possible. That's how we approach Yadus. We begin out of the gate with the strongest foundation possible. Beis Hillel comes along and he says, you know, that may be true when we are reflecting in contemporary times upon events of the past. And we are trying to connect with a standing sanctity that exists, that is predetermined and created the world of Pesach, the world of Sukkot. But when we are trying to create the Kedusha ourselves, when we walk into the Mikdash of our lives and we search for the Shemen, when we walked into the Mikdash of Hashem and we search for that oil, when we're trying to create Kedusha, you can never do it coming out of the gate with everything. It doesn't work. Mosif
the holich, says the Maharal. You have to start small, and then you add on piece by piece. Accomplishment takes patience. Miracles take patience. Miracles don't happen in one day. Miracles build. Enthusiasm builds. Passion builds. Most of the holich, the world of Hanukkah, is understanding that yes, we know where we're trying to get to, but there's a process to get there. And it takes time. And it takes effort. And it takes patience. And it takes a deliberate, incremental commitment to moving forward step by step. A mosif to add the holich, and then to walk within that new reality. A mosif to add another piece, and then a holich to walk within that reality. Yaakov Avinu, it's very interesting, at the beginning of last week's parsha, he admonishes Yosef, and then the Torah says, the Aviv Shomares Adavar, which the Rosh Hashanah means Yaakov knew that at the end of the day, this dream was going to come true. What was his Masur to Yosef? Yosef, you're right. At the end, you are going to be in charge of everybody. But you don't get to come out the first day that we're all sitting together with your dreams of grandeur. It takes time. It takes experiences. It takes effort. It takes building from spot to spot. Do I have time for a story? So I'll tell you a personal, very personal story that happened to me last week. My great-grandfather founded, both of my parents are Baalei Teshuva. My great-grandfather founded the conservative, the Orthodox synagogue in Linden, New Jersey. My grandfather founded the conservative synagogue in Linden, New Jersey. My mother grew up in Linden, New Jersey. It sits near here. It's in New Jersey. And she actually became from, through attending a Talmud Torah in a conservative shul, her teacher in the Talmud Torah who inspired her to become from was a woman named Revitzin Sheila Feinstein. Just passed away, tragically. Rav Reuven Feinstein's wife. Whole nother story. My grandfather went to the parent night and said, what are you doing here in our conservative shul? To which Revitzin Feinstein said to him, I know you don't know who my father-in-law is, but he's a very big rabbi. And I asked him if we could come here and teach. And he told me, who needs them more? Who needs you more than them? Of course you should go and teach. This Revitzin Feinstein is responsible for me being here today. My great-grandfather founded Orthodox Shul, and his children were not Shomer Shabbos. Last week, I was invited to give a shiur in that shul. So I showed up. Linden's Baruch Hashem growing as a beautiful shul. It has a young Rav. There are Hasidim moving in, which is always Leibedik, right? So I show up to give the shiur, thinking it would just be the young people. A lot of older people came who knew my grandparents. So I gave the shiur. It was very meaningful, and I finished the shiur. And then I went into the main sanctuary to Daven Ma'ariv. I sit down in a seat in the main sanctuary, and in front of me is a plaque that says, Abe Chernansky. That's my great-grandfather. I sat down to Daven Ma'ariv. And after Ma'ariv, I said to myself, could you imagine that my great-grandfather sat in this spot, watching and knowing that his children had made different choices than him to not continue his approach to Yahadus. Never imagining in a million years that 60, 70, 80 years later, a great-grandson would come back to give a shiur to the whole shul that's sitting right then on Erev Chanukah. V'aviv shamar es hadavar. Sometimes history takes time. Miracles take time. Growth takes time. It takes effort. In our yeshiva, one of the greatest challenges is sometimes we look around and it feels like there are people in the environment who are pochas the whole year. They literally showed up here knowing everything. We look at our rabbeim who know everything. We look at chaverim who know everything. We look at other guys who know everything. And it's a chalisha sadas, because we ask ourselves, like, is that real life? And the answer is that, yeah, there are situations in life where people are given gifts, pochis v'holech, where everything is there at the beginning. But the real avoda is mosif v'holech. The real avoda is to recognize that growth requires incremental ascension, taking on something new. And within the purity of that reach, of that something new, and the internalization of it within your own avodas Hashem, a person is transformed and they're taken forward. They are mosiv v'holich. The way to reach godless, and most people in the world who've reached godless, are not people who are just handed everything on a silver platter from day one. Most people reach godless in the world through being relentless at never letting an opportunity or a day go by where they can't add one candle. And when they turn around, the Aviv Shomar es Hadavar, when they turn around, yes, they're exhausted. Yes, they can't even look at another donut in another latke. But the menorah of their Avodas Hashem is radiant and illuminating and full and bright and real. The time that you have here in yeshiva, the time that you have with your rabbeim, is your opportunity to add a candle every single day. A candle to your yedios, a candle to your skills, a candle to your yerushamayim, a candle to your hashkafa. It's an opportunity that when you finally leave here, you're not poches b'holich. You didn't just survive the chance to hold on to what you had when you got here. You're mosif b'holich. Your whole identity is to take every single opportunity on every single day to be able to grow and move it forward. And then the dreams that seem so unrealistic when you're sitting in the shul and you're watching all the challenges in front of you, all of a sudden you turn around, and years later, or months later, or generations later, there's unbelievable opportunity, there's unbelievable impact. And Kadosh Baruch Hu give all of us the chizuk of Chanukah, chizuk the chinuch of Chanukah, to be able to benefit from the amazing aura that we have from our rabbeim, from our yeshiva, from our chaverim, from each other, and to be able to be mosif, to add, and to holich. Keep that hausafa and to walk with it and to grow and to expand our ability to be meaningful and impactful for ourselves and for all of Klal Yisrael. Have a wonderful time.
Very beautiful.
Okay, we're both saying